John chapter 6. And we're going to be reading today. We have looked at the healing of the impotent man. And we have learned of the feeding of the 5,000. And now we're going to look at disciples crossing the sea and getting in trouble with the storm with the absence of the Lord Jesus. And so, John chapter 6, verse 15, when Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him king, he departed again into the mountain himself alone. And when even was now come, his disciples went down into the sea and entered into a ship and went over the sea towards Capernaum. And it was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them. And the sea arose by reason of great wind that blew. So when they had rowed about 25 or 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the sea, and drawing nigh unto the ship, and they were afraid. But he said to them, "It is I, be not afraid." Then they willingly received him into the ship, and immediately the ship was at the land where they went. Let's begin with prayer after the reading of these precious scriptures. Father, thank you today that we can come together and just enjoy each other's fellowship. And the only reason that we can have such precious fellowship with this family here is because of you, dear Father, and your willingness, your Son willing to die on the cross of Calvary, that we may all be set free from our sin, the bondage of sin, that we all may have and possess the Spirit of God within our hearts, that we can come then and be one, have that precious unity, that we can come, we can hear your precious word, we can enjoy your precious word. It is so wonderful, Father, to walk each and every day, to enjoy each and every day, spending it with you and then with your family, with brothers and sisters in you, in the Lord. Please, Father, show us today your way and will, those that do not know you as their Savior, that they'll hear the word today, feel the calling in your presence, and accept that free gift of salvation and be saved. Believing, Father, just believing. And, Father, for all that are here that do know you as their Savior, help us to grow. Show us, Father, we just take one little section of your precious word at a time to fellowship over it, to enjoy it. And so, please, just grow each and every one of us, showing us your way and will. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Some of the first words of this 15th chapter is that Jesus perceived that they would come and take him by force. And so you see, it's not just his own that he can read their minds, know what their plans are. Jesus knows everything. He knew all the lost people, everything. He knows the heart of every man. He knows the need, and he realizes that the greatest need, of course, is salvation. And so here, Jesus perceived. He knew what was going on, and the sad thing is that that out of just witnessing, having his disciples and a part of the group, I'm sure, that witnessed the healing of the impotent man. Then they find themselves and they have 5,000 men, which would be anywhere from 10 to 15,000 people. And they had this small little lunch from this little boy, and he was able to take it, bless it, break it, and give it out to all, and to all received it. And then they gathered up the 12 basket loads that was left from this this feeding of this great group. The Lord is not limited as we are limited. And the wonderful thing that we all need to understand is that he is able, very capable, and wants to give us these blessings. He wants to produce and provide miracles in our lives. He wants to. So let's make the opportunity there for each one of us. Let's see that we're not hampering our God from blessing us. And let's watch these miracles come. these folks had witnessed both of these miracles, and Jesus knew the perception. He perceived that they wanted to take him because they had witnessed, especially the feeding of the 5,000. If this man has the ability to do that, surely he will have the ability to take away the rule and the reign of Rome. And so let him, you know, let's go get him. Most of the time, they're going after to kill him. At this point, they want to make him king. And so either way, it is not the will of God for either to happen at this time. It wasn't the will of God that he would die now. It is not the will of God that he become king now. That time is coming. You see, the world, when they look at these miracles, they witness these miracles, they immediately go to, we want him to be king. They seem to be more concerned about the bondage of Rome than the bondage of their sin. They seem to be more concerned about the one over the other. And isn't that the way it is today? People today are much more concerned about the world and possessions of things and burdens. And even when they come to God, they come to find that burden lifted, not the burden of their sin. They do not see, they do not recognize that they're lost in their sin. That's our responsibility to take that word out. It is the wonderful power of the Holy Spirit to convict that heart and to show them that sinful condition. And then it's up to them to say, yes, I want Jesus and my sins forgiven. So we know that man's heart has not changed. At this time, they wanted to be set free from the bondage of Rome. They thought maybe this man would be capable. Anybody that can feed 5,000, 10,000, 15,000 people surely can take away any responsibility or problem we have with Rome. However, they were not concerned with their sin, and that's what he came to take care of. They were looking for a political deliverer, not for the Messiah that could save their sin. They missed that. And so as we look now at the last half of this 15th verse, and to make him king, he departed again unto a mountain himself alone. And so we find that once again he departs to be alone. We find that him doing that in the last study as well. And so, but when we look now at these verses of Scripture, we're going to go back to Matthew and to Mark, because this same sweet story is in both of those Gospels. And so we're going to read it in its entirety in Matthew and in Mark, because there's a lot of things that John, just as he looks at a little bit differently. And so please turn with me now to Matthew, the 14th chapter. Matthew chapter 14. As we have already read John chapter 6, verse 15 through 21, now we're going to read Matthew chapter 14 and begin reading with the 22nd verse. We're going to read down through verse 33. So please that you would follow along. Matthew chapter 14, verse 22. Straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship to go before him into the other side while he sent the multitudes away. Now, there's something that's just a little bit different than what John had shared. And when he had sent the multitude away, he went up into the mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "Is it a spirit?" And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou," and look at that word, if it be thou, "bid me come unto thee on the water." Well, Jesus didn't have any short, long explanation. He just said, "Come." In verse 29, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore dost thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Now, keep your hand there. Keep your hand in John. And now, so all of us have three hands. Let's go to Mark. Mark chapter 6. And we're going to read verses 45 through 52. So please keep all these together. Mark chapter 6 and verse 45. We're just going to read down through verse 52 here. Listen to this same story again. And straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship, to go to the other side before unto Bethsaida, while he sent away the people. This is Mark chapter 6, verse 45, beginning now with verse 46. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. And when evening had come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. And he saw them toiling and in rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of night, he cometh unto them, walking upon the water, and would have passed by them. But when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it to be a spirit, and cried out, for they all saw him, and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them, and said unto them, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And he went up unto them into the ship. The wind ceased, and they were so amazed in themselves beyond measure, and wondered. And look at especially to verse 52. They considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. This is the only one that brings that point out, and it shows us why. That almost immediately after the healing of the impotent man, after the feeding of the 5,000, these disciples still needed to do some growing because their heart was still hardened. They still didn't totally or completely believe. And so if you can, just hold your finger. We really won't be going back and forth, but you may want to when we make some points to each one of these. And so, as we look at these verses of Scripture, we find that the Lord Jesus, Matthew and Mark tells us that the Lord Jesus sent the multitudes away. He went up to the mountain to pray. Matthew and Mark both tell us that the Lord Jesus constrained the disciples to get into the ship and to travel to the other side. And that constrained means he obliged them, he compelled them to get into the ship. And it seems, according to Luke 9:18, that maybe the disciples, those that were closest to Jesus, they really wanted to make him king. They didn't see that he needed to be the Messiah. And before he could have the crown of the King of Kings, he needed to have the crown of thorns and die on the cross. They had missed that. And so the Lord was continuing to grow them and to teach them the way and the will that he should go. As we look now, again, the first time Jesus comes to earth, that he'd come to earth, he come to deal with the sin problem. He had to pay the debt of sin. That was the first time that he was come. Now, the second time that he comes, it will be altogether different, because then he will come and he will rule and be King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and we will rule as the church. We will rule with him. And what a wonderful opportunity, because he will come and rule in righteousness. And so, as we look now, and please, I hope, in this afternoon, go home and read those other two texts from chapter 14 of Matthew, chapter 6 of Mark, and now of the Gospel of John here in chapter 6. Reread those. And we find in the 17th verse, the beginning, that the disciples went down to the sea, in verse 16. Verse 17, entered into a ship, went over the sea towards Capernaum. And it was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them. And so we find that they have found a ship. It is believed that possibly it could have been Peter's, or it could have been one of the other fishermen's ship. We don't know where this ship come from. God chose not to tell us. But we do know that Peter and the others seem to keep their ships. They when God called them, when the Lord Jesus come and called them to follow, they put down their nets and they left. But it doesn't tell us anything about selling their boats or anything like that. And we do know after the crucifixion, what did they do? They said, what are we going to do? Let's go fishing. Some of you now, that could be a problem. And so, as we look at this and walk each and every day, we need to understand that our service is to the Lord and to walk each and every day. And here, we're not told whose boat it was, but it could have been Peter's, could have been one of the other fishermen. And now we look at the next step of that verse 16 or 17. It says, and now it was dark. And so this dark here, this word dark means darkness. And in Matthew, it tells us, and also in Mark, it tells us that it was the fourth watch. And the fourth watch was be somewhere probably about 3 o'clock in the morning. And so so it wasn't just sunset. It was dark. And so Scripture very clearly says darkness. And the disciples found themselves in a situation here before the storm ever arose. They found themselves separated from the Lord, and they found themselves in darkness. Both of those things. And isn't that exactly the way it is today? If you, for whatever reason, separate yourself from the Lord, you get out of fellowship with Him, you're going to find yourself in darkness, and as they did, very shortly, you'll find yourself in a storm, because it's going to be turmoil and trouble, and you're not going to understand why. And in truth, what happened is you have walked away from the Lord. You have left His presence, His power. He hasn't left you. He's right there. But because of what you have done or said, may have separated you from His fellowship. And these fishermen, again, it has no appearance that there is something wrong other than that little remark in the end of Mark. Their hearts were hardened. The Lord needed to grow them. The Lord needed to teach them. And so there wasn't perfect fellowship with the disciples. There was not this growing and hunger for righteousness that you would have thought they would have possessed walking with the Lord Jesus. What we find here is that they had their hearts were hardened. They just still weren't, they were not comprehending. They were not taking in this great a gift of salvation that they possessed. They weren't getting a handle on it. They weren't fully understanding it. They were in darkness. Now, these disciples, or many of them, they not only, as we look at the next verse, verse 18, the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. Now, we need to realize this isn't the first time that these fishermen has been out in the boat in the middle of this sea. This is a place where they're very familiar with. At the same time, they're very familiar that at night, a storm can come up so quickly, and a horrible storm. It gives no notice. It's just there right now. They know that. Well, they're in such a storm here. Do we recognize that when we break fellowship with our Lord, and even sometimes prior to breaking fellowship with our Lord, the Lord will take us down a road of testing. He'll send the wind. He'll send a storm. And He wants to find out how we stand. He tests us. And it's for a couple of purposes, not just to test us, just to say, okay, pass that test. It's for testing and for growth. Because even if you fail the test, hopefully you have grown because of your mistake. And so either way, it's winning when we recognize that we need to walk with the Lord and serve the Lord. These men had been on a high, literally on a high. And in doing that, they had enjoyed this time. They had enjoyed a time of watching the Lord's wonderful experience of healing the impotent man, of feeding the 5,000. And now, all of a sudden, where's the high? It's kind of like many years ago, we went to, it's the last time one of the last times that John Rice spoke. We were at a Sword of the Lord conference in Atlanta, Georgia, and I've shared it with you many times. The two young men literally several steps up to the platform, and they took him out of the wheelchair and literally carried him up onto the platform, held him under his arm while he preached for about 10 minutes with a real weak voice of, just wore out. And wasn't long after that that John R. Rice went home. But we got to see him. But it was a sad statement, but it was true. The preacher at the time gave us some advice as we went to this Bible conference. Said, when you come home, be careful because you're going to be on a high. It's going to be exciting what you've heard, the wonderful preaching. And all of a sudden, the people that didn't get to go didn't. And so, they're going to bring you down. They're going to bring you down because you're not going to stay up there. Well, it's the same thing with his disciples. You know, I love to hear good preachers preach. I love to come into the house of God and fellowship over the Word of God. That's where our feeding, that's where our strength comes from. We open the Word and enjoy it, and we stay with the truth, and it's such a blessing to us. And sometimes when we go to these big conferences and these big meetings, we're just going to receive such a blessing. My friend, that blessing can be daily as you open your precious Word. That blessing can be when you come into the house of God here and we come as a family to enjoy the Word of God. I think when you don't look for those peaks, you may have made the statement, I have, before I was saved, Christmas and Easter, Resurrection Sunday, was the most exciting times in my religious life. Because you had the big program going on at Christmas, you had all the Easter lilies, and you had confirmation, you had all the activities going on at the church, and it was just so exciting. You know, those times have not become less exciting. It's just that every day is as exciting. I don't have to wait for Christmas. I don't have to wait for Resurrection Sunday to be excited. I'm excited each and every day that I live because the Lord lives in me. And so it's kind of the same thing here. I think the Lord had to show these men that he had to take them down in the valley a little bit. And he did that. He took them down in the valley. He took them down in this boat. And, like a good friend of ours called Jonah, he found himself in the bottom of the boat and the storm was coming up. A little bit different. Jonah was asleep. And Jonah was running away. These men weren't running away. These men had something to learn. And God, through this, was going to teach it to them. He was going to show them. And so we have this beautiful example here. But they were afraid when the darkness came. Instead of saying, Lord, I don't know where you are, but I know you're with us. You're going to protect us. He wasn't physically there. They missed him. They wondered where he was. And we know, according to verse 19, that the storm was in verse 18 here. It the great wind that blew, and it was that those words there are being raised, literally stirred. And so as we have this all stirred up, and we need to understand that in our life as a believer that we're going to have some tremendous days that we just feel so clearly the power and the presence of God. He's just worked a miracle in our life and we're so excited. And then all of a sudden here comes this trial and this trouble and this tribulation. Do we do as these men do? Where's God? Where is Jesus? Where is our Savior? Instead of turning to Him and knowing He's right there, instead of that, they were afraid. And now, we need to look at this here, and we need to enjoy these scriptures. And we read now from verse 18, once again down through 21. The sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. So when they had rowed about 25 or 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the sea and drawing nigh into the ship. And instead of being glad to see Him, we find them to be afraid. And so, as we look at the distance, normally they would sail. But they weren't sailing, they were rowing. And the reason they were rowing is because it tells us the wind was contrary. The wind was going the other direction. So the way they wanted to go, the only way they could get there was to row. And they hadn't rowed a small distance. I don't know if you've rowed a boat much. I'm a pretty good rower when it comes to a canoe, as long as I don't have to turn it around. I can make good speed going one direction. But me turn that thing around, I just as well turn around in the boat and go the other way. I can do that. And so as we see this rowing and instead of sailing, it was contrary. There was quite a storm. They'd went, according to the scripture here, this 25 or 30 furlongs is about 3 miles. So they've rowed quite a distance against the wind. And this storm comes up, continues to get them more furious, I'm sure. And they see the Lord Jesus. Now, all were afraid. All were afraid. But we know, according to Matthew, that Peter speaks up. And I brought an attention to you when we went by that verse of Scripture, because Peter says, "If it be you, if." If it be you. Now, the Lord didn't condemn Peter for questioning that. They thought it was a spirit, according to the other two Gospels that we read. And so, if it be you, can I come to you? The Lord, again, did not rebuke Peter in any way. What did the Lord say? Come. What an invitation. That's all he had to do. You're in trouble. All you have to do is call upon the Lord, and He'll say, come. Just that quick. He'll say, come. And He did. What a wonderful bidding. And as we find in the other, back in Matthew there, as we see this wonderful example going on, and we see Peter walking on the water, if you remember the story, what happened? The storm became boisterous and came up against him. And it's said by some of the preachers of the past that what happened was the wave got so high that it got between him and Jesus. And he couldn't see Jesus. Now, I don't know whether that was true, or whether the wave and the wind and the storm got so strong that he took his eyes away from Jesus and looked. Either way, he started to go down. He started to go down. And the preachers of the past have made some very sweet comments. They said, isn't it wonderful that he didn't have to have a written prayer when he called upon God to save him? He didn't have to have all these words. He didn't need all those words. Those words were very, very short. Now, if you still have your hand there, and I had to take my hand away from it, we'll go back to the 14th verse here, and we'll see what Peter had to say. In verse 29, the Lord says, come, and when Peter was, chapter 14 in verse 29, and when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." The invitation was one word, and the prayer was three. Lord, save me. And that's exactly the fellowship and the exciting time that we need to have with our Lord. Just that fast, just that quick, no matter what is going on. And it's wonderful because, you see, Jesus was walking on the water, but Peter was walking on the Word. And we need to do the same thing. We need to walk by the Word of God. And we can do anything according to the will of our God, even to the point of walking on water, if necessary. He can have us to do anything. He is not kept by that. As we enjoy this, something else I want you to see, and that is that immediately they were ashore. As soon as Jesus got there, they were ashore. And, you know, for us, when we plan a trip, there's a distance involved. It's going to take me this long to get there. We've traveled back and forth many times in the last couple of months to Rochester, and even though the time seems shorter, it still takes the same amount of time. It takes about 6 hours to drive from here to Mayo Clinic in Rochester. You just can't do it much better than that, and it takes 6 hours to go up, 6 hours to come back. We know that time element, and if we get to Cedar Rapids or to Waterloo, and we're a little over halfway. We're getting close. There's a sign on the other side of Waterloo. I can still see 100 miles to Rochester. And that just seems to kind of, okay, we're going to make it. You know, it's going to be 100 miles. Well, it's 100 miles. It's another 2 hours before we get there. And here, time, distance, to our God is nothing. It's nothing. As soon as the purpose of this testing, of this trial, when it was over, there's no reason to be on the sea any longer. They're to land. And what a wonderful picture for ourselves. Because our Lord is going to come in the air, and He's going to get us. Now, how can we jump high enough to get halfway to meet Jesus? We don't have to worry about it. Because our Lord, as this distance and time was nothing, so will be the coming of the Lord and our going to Him. Distance and time will be nothing. Because He's going to call us, and we're going to come, and He's going to take care of all the arrangements. We don't have to look at our clock, or we'll look at our watch and say we're going to be on the road another 2 hours. We're going to be there right now. And what a joy. And what a picture that we have. We as believers are in a stormy world. One of these days, He's going to come and He's going to get us. We're going to see Him. We're not going to be afraid. We're going to know Him as these fishermen. They were afraid. We're not going to be afraid. And just that fast, that distance, speed of light, all the things, the size of the sun, everything that's involved has no bearing on our Lord. When He calls us, we'll be there. And He'll take us home. And so please, when we go through these times of testing, please know that it's for our learning, for our growth, as these disciples had to go through that storm. They had to go through the darkness. They had to go through that time of absence of the Lord. And for us, what a lesson. So we can see our Lord is always there. No matter if it seems like there's a great distance. When you pray and He doesn't seem to answer your prayer, He's answering your prayer. He hears. And He hears immediately. And so, turn it to Him. Give Him His due in honor and praise and glory. Thank Him for your salvation. And thank Him for all the grace and the gifts that He gives you. And then serve Him. Praise Him. And honor Him. And just watch Him produce miracles in our lives. Let's close with prayer. Father, I thank you for the wonderful time that you have given us this morning. It's always a joy to open your precious book, read those verses, fellowship over those verses. And I ask, Father, that Matthew and Mark and John, that the folks go home and read these verses of Scripture again. Enjoy them. Look at the differences between the seeing Peter walk on the water to the to Mark making the point of the storm and then arriving immediately. All these things, Father, we praise and thank you for your precious word. You've opened these words up to us. You've given us your Spirit to understand them and to use them to your honor and glory. So please grow us with your word today. And Father, those that are here do not know you as their Savior, that today be the day of salvation, because today is the only day of salvation. Come, please come. Father, let them come and believe. Speak to all of our hearts now, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.